Kevin Woodley from the Goalie Magazine, man. The guy knows goaltenders. You should follow him on Twitter. Highly recommended if you want to understand the position a little bit more. And actually, it was good timing because just before he had him on, I noticed he raised a question in regards to shot distance instead of shot quality when it comes to goaltender breakdowns. Woodley joins us now. Kev, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me on today.
Hey, I love it. Love talking goalies with guys who know the position way better than we do. Now, I want to get into your shot distance instead of shot quality. And here's my concern on all of them is, did you happen to read the James Neal article, I think it was yesterday or the day before, in the Players Tribune, where he broke down, you know, how to score goals in the NHL?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was a nice little inside look at just, you know, just how much more detail and context goes mm-hmm. into trying to score on these guys at the highest level. That you just, you know, it's all about hiding the release and fooling them and changing the angle at the last second and dragging the puck. And, you know, just shots from a spot aren't going to do it 9 times out of 10 or probably 95 times out of 100 in this league.
So when you start to track goalies more, and now you take into what Neil said into context, I guess maybe it opens up another chapter for people to look, okay, yeah, we got shot quality, we got shot distance, but what about, you know, did he bring the puck? You know, did he move it 8 inches from where he looked like he was going to shoot to where he actually releases it, and those type of things, and how much that's going to change the analysis of goalies?
Well, I think that, you know, it's going to be hard to get into that level of detail on every shot taken in the NHL over a season, but certainly, you know, part of that argument of, and the reason I brought it up on Twitter today is I read a lot of articles that threw out the phrase shot quality and then used the zone breakdowns and adjusted save percentages from War on Ice, which, don't get me wrong, really valuable tools, doing the best we can with the information we have, but those are largely distance-based metrics. And there's so much more that goes into shot quality than distance. And I think Steven Vlahek had done some of the best work on it, along with Chris Boyle from Sportsnet, by looking at pre-shot movement and how the puck moves around the zone and whether that forces a goaltender to change his position. And in Vlahek's case, whether it forces him to go from one side of his crease to another across what he calls the Royal Road. And we've seen some huge differences, how dramatically shot quality and the chances of scoring go up when you do force a goaltender to make those moves. So adding in those factors, I think that what Neil said, where you could see that factor into shot quality, is now let's take all those factors and let's take a look at the shooting percentage of the guys, because there's probably a reason, just as there's a reason that Stamkos scores so many from certain spots, that a guy like James Neal, without looking at it or having it in front of me, I guess has a, you know, probably has a pretty good shooting percentage. So I don't know if we'll be able to break down every shot in terms of did he pull it from toe to heel, or, you know, how did he use the defenseman of the screen. But, you know, it's certainly, you know, taking a look at, let's face it, just as, you know, a shot from 10 feet straight on coming right at a goaltender is totally different from a shot from 10 feet after a lateral pass, you know, a shot from James Neal is probably a lot different than a shot from a fourth line grinder with 2 career goals. So all those things factor into it.
Yeah, Kevin, that's what I struggle with. You know, anytime you can get more information or analyze something beyond the obvious, it's a good thing. But I don't know how you'd get it to that point. You know, the best shooters sometimes, it's a quick release. Other times it's that movement. They don't rely on one sweet spot to let the puck go. Traffic, distance, all these things. I don't know how you put this into any kind of equation that gives you the kind of data you're looking for and that's useful.
Well, I guess basically you're right. What we do is we try and do the best we can with the information we have. And, you know, hey, if the shooters weren't changing how they were attacking the goaltender, it's always evolving. If they weren't changing what their look and changing things up on a regular basis, or with new young shooters doing different things, then goaltending would be even better than it is now. So I don't think there's a perfect answer. And I do, like I said, this wasn't a knock. I appreciate all the added context that we've got from distance. I was just, you know, I just was wondering whether, you know, calling that shot quality was maybe a little bit misleading.
Kevin Woodley joins us talking goaltenders. Kevin, you know, there's a hot topic in Edmonton. Of course, Nilsson hasn't allowed a goal in the 53 shots he's facing in the preseason. You know, watered down competition. Sure, I guess that's part of it. And Scrivens hasn't been bad. But Calgary, Edmonton, and Minnesota are the three interesting teams to look for as far as goaltending battles right now. Calgary, Minnesota in a different case because the guys who they have to send down, if they do, have to be exposed to waivers where the Oilers could slide Nilsson through. He doesn't need waivers. Which goaltender, if you were an opposing team, and there's Kemper, Ortio, Scrivens, and Nilsson, because I'm not sure which one. Let's use those four. Which one do you think opposing teams, if money was equal, would have the most interest in?
Oh, that's a really good question. Obviously, Kemper. Nilsson's preseason might open some eyes, and I'd be curious to know how much pre-scouting went on, how many other teams were in the building with scouts who, I mean, scouts capable of evaluating the goaltending position. I got to be careful what I say there. Let's just see. I have seen a lot of scouting reports over the years, right up into recent years, that quite frankly don't seem to have a clue how the position is played. They just fall back on generic catchphrases about athleticism and, you know, looking confident and playing big without any true recognition of what goes into that. So, I don't know how much his performance in the preseason has been judged properly by other teams, but I got to think it maybe opened some eyes because otherwise I don't know that there would be a lot of interest. You know, just given his track record with the Islanders, and as much as I don't put too much value in his track record with the Islanders because I know how poor that organization has been developing goaltenders and how little help they've given developing goaltenders, a lot of teams might just look at that track record, see that he was in the KHL, and let him go through. Let's face it, reputation and past history plays into this. Kemper, geez, that's a tough question, guys. I personally, it's Ortio. Ortio would be the guy that I would claim. But I don't know that other teams would see it the same way because I don't know if they've had a chance, you know, to get as good a look at him as I have, just, you know, through his time in Abbotsford, being a nearby AHL team here for a couple of years and see the progression there. And, you know, also Kemper to me has a lot more work to do, a lot more work to do. But again, he had some early success. So I can't tell you how other teams judge them, but for me, it would be Ortio. And because of that, you got to wonder if the Flames have a, you know, really do have a tough decision to make here. Because I fully believe if he didn't have a high ankle sprain, that we wasn't coming off a high ankle sprain at the end of last season, we would have seen him in the playoffs for the Calgary Flames.
Kevin, I want to ask you a follow-up question on this group of goaltenders. I don't want to use the term fundamentals because they can be different things to different people. But in the way that you judge goaltending and the things that you find important, who has the best traits in that group, regardless of success, because it depends what team they're playing behind, and who has the worst? And I'm wondering if Scrivens falls into either of those categories.
No, I don't. I wouldn't put Scrivens at the worst for sure. You know, and I guess, again, it's really tough for me to talk about a guy who spent last year in the KHL. So it's, you know, that becomes a tough evaluation, and unfortunately I haven't had a chance to look at, you know, the Oilers preseason game so far. So, you know, I don't know where he fits into that. But, you know, again, knowing some of the work he's done over the past couple of years, I would imagine they are better than they were when he exited the New York Islanders system. Ortio, again, for the same reasons that he'd be my guy, he'd be near the top of that list. There's just a nice balance of maturity. I mean, you talk to the kid and he's just, I mean, he just seems to get it. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice technical game that's kind of been reined in and refined by Jordan Sigelet in Calgary and in Abbotsford before that. And he's got that finished background, active hands, you know. A lot of times we hear about goalies from a scouting community or just general, they talk about goalies being athletic, and it really is a misused phrase. I see it often ascribed to guys who, frankly, when I look at them, are just unnecessarily busy. And that gets, you know, oh, what a great athletic save. Well, no, he forced himself to dive head first because A, he was way overcommitted on the other side, and B, his technical recovery was such a cluster that he had no other choice but to go head first. So that gets described as athleticism, and all I see are desperation caused by compounded mistakes. I don't see that in Ordeo. When he uses his hands, he uses them actively. He uses them effectively, but not just out of desperation. So, you know, he's got a good enough frame and good enough structure that even when he's not feeling great, he's still in position and the puck will hit him, but he doesn't rely exclusively on that. He steers with his blocker. He catches with his glove. He's not quite Mika Kiprusoff on those skill levels, but he comes from the same background, and the Finnish goalies really do have that value of active hands drilled into them from an early age. So those are some of the things I look at. You know, I look at the technical stuff, but the game has changed to the point where that's not enough. You need a technical base, and you need something on top of that to kind of separate you at the NHL level. And, you know, again, that gets described by many as athleticism, but to me what Ordeo has is sort of controlled athleticism, and I see it in the way he uses his hands actively, doesn't default to a block. You know, a lot of this newer stuff in head trajectory and the way guys track pucks, there's only a handful of people that truly understand it and see it. I've been lucky enough to be introduced to it, you know, right from the base level and work with a lot of guys on the ice, NHL guys this summer as they learn it and see how it affects them. Not being sure whether he's been exposed to it specifically or not, Ordeo does it naturally quite well. So again, it's a complete package there. I'm not saying he's going to be a star in this league, but I really like the way he's progressing. He's the guy that if I was doing my homework and an NHL team was paying me, if I was the Tampa Bay Lightning and he was exposed on waivers, I'd give that a long, hard look. Saying that, when you look at Tampa's goaltending decisions over the past 3 or 4 years, that doesn't mean they're claiming him, because I scratch my head at more of their decisions than anyone else.
Kevin, appreciate your stuff, man. Really look forward to having you on a regular basis. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.